This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Centurion today to talk to Teddy Daka, Group CEO of JSE-listed technology group Ansys Limited, recently rebranded, in fact, as Etion. Teddy, welcome to the show. Before we talk about Ansys and Etion, as it's now known, please tell me a little bit about yourself. I've heard your name in the industry for many years, but we've never had a chance to chat. Tell me a little bit about your background, where you were born, where you grew up, how you got into business.
Okay. Thanks for inviting me to the show.
Pleasure.
I was raised in Livingstone pretty much part of my life. That's in Zambia. Mm-hmm. And then I moved on to the UK, and I was in the US, and I stayed in Canada. So I did move around a bit because of my folks that were in exile at that stage. Mm-hmm. As in terms of my educational background, I only studied business. That's all I know. My undergrad is business. My honors degree is business. My master's is business. All executive programs I've done from several universities in Singapore, Switzerland, the US, the UK, back here, all in business. And my PhD, which I'm currently doing, is also in business.
What are you focusing on?
International business.
Okay. And so when did you come back to South Africa?
1990.
90?
Back here.
Okay. And did you immediately get into the business sphere when you returned here?
Oh, no. When I came back, the first role that I played was with the National Coordinating for Refugees for Returnees, mm-hmm. as part of a program with the UN to try and repatriate people back in the country. Then I joined Rio Tinto. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've been in business. From Rio Tinto, I joined Telkom. From Telkom, I went into business.
Okay. What did you do at Telkom?
I was one of the executives. I was responsible for then what was called economic empowerment.
All right.
And transformation and procurement.
Okay. Who was the CEO of Telkom back then?
At that stage, it was Mike Geschwind. This is when Telkom was run by Southwestern Bell, who had about 30% of Telkom.
Yeah.
Thereafter, it became Sizwe Western. Joined FirstRand, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
So when did you strike out on your own?
Exactly in 2000. August 2000 is when I struck out on my own.
Okay. And is that when you created Tadaka Investments?
That's when I created it, yes.
Okay. What was the thinking behind launching that business? And
I've always wanted to be in business, but more importantly, I've always wanted to have four careers in my life. One was to work for a not-for-profit organization, which I did. I also wanted to work for a corporate, which I did. I wanted to branch out and be an entrepreneur and try that, which I did. I'm studying a PhD now because that's the last thing I want to do, is to become an academic.
Okay. All right. What's the timeline on that?
I have another mileage to go in the corporate world, in mm-hmm. being an entrepreneur. But I do think that before the end of the decade, I'll be full-time in the academia.
Okay. Are you already involved in that sphere? Are you doing any lecturing?
As a PhD student, yes, mm-hmm. I am.
As a student, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what role do you see yourself playing in academia?
I'm more of a researcher. I like the research side of the academic world, but it comes with teaching. So I think people need to share some of this stuff that you pick up over the years. And I do believe that I can contribute.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an institution in mind at this point? Or?
I'm not limited to a particular institution in terms of where I would want to do my work. Suffice it to say that I need to do something on our continent. It doesn't matter where, as long as it's on Africa. Mm-hmm. But I also would like to, you know, broaden my horizons and teach in two other geographies outside of the continent.
Okay. So you founded Tadaka Investments. Did you have partners in that business when you started?
No. Never had.
Never had. Okay.
Never had partners.
Okay. And where were your first investments?
The first business I started to keep myself going was a consulting business that I started. Then I invested in a defense company. Mm-hmm. Then I invested in broadcasting, believe it or not.
Which broadcasting?
It was a company called Globecast.
Okay.
I had a partner in that one. Various industries where I started, you know, investing, including IT. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there a particular, would you invest in any industry, or were there particular industries that interested you as an individual?
I was always interested with technology. So okay. It was an industry that is a slant to technology. To yeah. It kind of draw myself to it. You find it very difficult to ask me to invest in a mining company or into a farm. Mm. Those areas is not my strong point. But if it's got to do with tech,
yeah,
I get attracted to tech.
Where does that interest come from?
I have absolutely no idea. I've always liked gadgets. as a kid, I've always liked gadgets. Yeah. I didn't even train as an engineer or anything like that, but technology always fascinated me.
Right. So you've got the latest and greatest. I see you have a fantastic little MacBook here.
It does do its work.
It does its job, yeah. Great. So, Teddy, you've been involved, and we were chatting just before we started recording. You say it was quite a long time ago, but you were quite involved in helping architect black economic empowerment in South Africa, and I think advising some cabinet ministers.
Indeed.
On BEE. I wanted to get your view. What is your take on the current state of black economic empowerment? What's gone right with it? What's gone wrong with it, in your view? What needs fixing and what doesn't?
If I look at what has gone right, you just have to drive on any of our highways, on our freeways, and you can just see how the black middle class has grown in this country. And some people forget that's because of the empowerment policies. By empowerment policies, I'm not referring only to the 2003 Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act, mm-hmm. but you have to look at other acts, such as the Employment Equity Act, the Skill Development Act, and other various policies of government that make up this grouping of policies that do that. So there's been a lot of growth, and black people have moved and advanced quite tremendously in the country. If you look back from where we were in 1994, where I think things have not worked right, first of all, in our conception and understanding of black economic empowerment, sometimes it was presented as if it's the economic policy for the country, the panacea that will solve all problems for black people. No, BEE was never meant to be a replacement of the country's economic policy. So people tend to look at that and blame what's going on in the economy when blacks are not rising based on that policy. I think that needs to change because it was never meant to do so. I hold the view that by broadening the elements that are being measured on the scorecard, it has diluted the effect of trying to bring more control and ownership of the economy. For instance, I've argued in places where I've spoken that I don't see why we should be measuring employment equity, for example, on the BEE scorecard. There is a law already for that. It's sort of like a double duplication of that. I think we should aggressively move for ownership. I think we should aggressively move for control on the BEE side and let the other elements be managed in other spheres, like we've got the Skills Development Act. I'm not saying these elements are not important, but I'm saying they simply have a dilutionary effect if you want to see more control towards the end.
All right. Okay. So what would you like to see change over the coming years? How would you like to see government's approach, particularly to black economic policy, change to shake things up a bit?
Well, in terms of its implementation, this is where I think a lot of work needs to be done. When BEE was started, the idea was to, if you're going to do business with the state or state-related organizations, there are certain requirements that you should meet. The private sector was left pretty much to do its own, unless if you're doing business with the state. I think that's correct. But I think we need to see more encouragement of the private sector doing more on black economic empowerment. We are still, by and large, approaching BEE from a point of view of ticking the boxes. Once you have a scorecard, business will try and meet that scorecard. And being a level one does not necessarily mean you're a black controlled and managed business. So we need to fix that side of it so that there's clarity.
How do you fix that, though? I mean, businesses love ticking boxes, don't they?
I'm not so sure if they love to do so, but if I have to comply to a particular form of legislation, I'm more likely just going to comply to it, mm-hmm. as opposed to going to the spirit. I think we need a bigger discussion as a country about what is required for this nation to prosper and move forward, to go beyond the ticking of the boxes. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's still the ticking of the boxes, as opposed to what is good for country and what is good for this nation if we have to move it forward.
And that's about a broader economic policy discussion.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Okay. So, ANSYS, or Etion, as it's now called, has the name officially been changed?
It has been officially changed. Mm-hmm. It is Etion. And we're trading as Etion at the moment.
Okay, well, let's talk about the name change. Why change a name? I mean, Etion's been around, sorry, ANSYS has been around for 30 years. It's been listed on the stock exchange for the past 10 years. It's quite a pedigree. Why change the name at this point?
We're signaling to ourselves and to the broader community, investment community, suppliers and clients, that we are changing as a company. Historically, as you talk about our pedigree, we are heavy on the engineering side, as in terms of developing technologies. We have built technology that goes into fighter jets worldwide, not just for the South African market, on attack helicopters. Some stuff went even on the coverts, mm-hmm. On our locomotives, the trains, in mining, and the telecommunication space. The focus has been more on the engineering aspect of it. But the market has shifted. If you just focus on the engineering side, you're more likely to be producing commodities. If you want to capture value and produce more, you have to recognize that with the disruption that is happening within in the economy, from a technology point of view, with Industry Version 4 coming through, we already have the building blocks of Industry Version 4. So what we're doing now is repositioning the business, moving away from a heavy focus of engineering excellence to providing digital solutions, because we've got the bedrock to do so. And we can do so, and we already do so. So that's why we decided to rebrand our business and reposition ourselves for Industry Version 4, because that's where the market is going.
All right. What does that mean, though, from a skills perspective inside the organization? You've obviously got a lot of heavy engineering skills in the business. Are those people having to retool, relearn?
Not really. No? We already have those skills are the skills that we need. Think of it. Let's use an Internet of Things network. You need devices that collect information at the edge of any network. It is our engineering skills that develop those devices. If you're making a camera, it's a sensor. If you're making a vehicle identification system like we have in the wireless domain, those are sensors that you put on the side of the track to collect information. We continue to do so. But what we have added to that is we're also looking at how do you transport the information that you're collecting from those sensors. That is our other business that we now call Etion Connect. And then you also have to look at how you protect that information. That's Etion Secure, our cybersecurity business. So we now have a bigger offering beyond just using our engineers in one aspect of the business, but now across the value chain of an Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. So we're using the same people, the same skill set, just to refocus.
So the business is 30 years old. How did it get its start? Was it mainly providing solutions to the old government's military?
The founders of this business started by making black boxes, crash recorders.
Oh, yes.
For the then defense establishment.
Yeah.
But it's a very small market. You can only go this far and make so many black boxes. You need to have a huge industry on the aviation side, which did not take off. But the ability to produce a black box means that you have the know-how and the skill set to produce a computer that can work in very harsh environment. It should be able to withstand a couple of G's. It should be able to be on the seabed 12 kilometers deep and still work for at least a month. Mm. So it's really being able to produce technologies for harsh environments. And that's where we grew from that ability. We're now applying it to different industries, and now we're moving into more commercial aspects of the business.
Who founded the business originally, and are they still involved?
No, they're not involved. No. The two founders were not involved in the business. One migrated, the one moved on to the other business. Well, two migrated, actually. There were three. They migrated.
Okay.
One is still in the country, though.
Right. Yeah. And when did you get involved?
It was in 2003.
Okay.
When I got involved, I bought a small stake.
Through Tadaka Investments?
Yeah.
All right.
I bought a stake in the company. I think I bought about 42% of the business then. a colleague of mine was the MD of the company and invited me to get involved. Mm-hmm. So I was just a shareholder, nothing beyond just being a shareholder.
Mm-hmm. And when did you get more actively involved in the business?
When we listed in 2007, I became chairman of the company. Mm-hmm. And then about 5 years ago, I moved into the role of the group CEO
right.
business. Yeah.
Okay. So you listed on the JSE for the past 10 years. We were chatting beforehand. The market has been under a lot of pressure, particularly small cap shares. The market seems to be shunning them at the moment and has been shunning small caps for quite a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, given the current share price of Etion, do you think that it's fairly valued at these levels, or do you think the market is undervaluing it? Where do you think?
We believe we are undervalued at the moment, mm. so it's a good buy. But OutX, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a small cap market. Most institutional investors are not allowed to invest on OutX. And just like what happens to emerging markets, if something goes wrong in the world, funds pull out of major markets is what we're seeing at the moment. So if anything happens, mm. funds pull out of OutX quite easily. But it's been good to us. It has allowed us to do the kind of raise the cash that we've raised over the period of time. It has allowed us to do the acquisitions that we've been able to do. And now we qualify to be on the main board. And so the next thing for us is we're going to move on to the main board in the next 12 to 24 months.
Okay. What do you need to do before that happens?
Well, we qualify. We have everything that is required, the kind of profits you must produce over a period of time of at least 3 years. We qualify to be on the main board. It's only now just timing of when do we want to do it and when we can move.
All right. Why not do it now?
There are a few things that we want to put in place before mm-hmm. we switch. Mm-hmm. We have to think about the liquidity of the share and how we can increase liquidity, the kind of institutional investors that we want to bring along, the levels of dilution that needs to take place on management, because management owns quite a big, more than 65% of the business within management. There are a number of steps that we need to do to do that, but they're all not insurmountable. They're all small steps.
All right. So shareholding changes are in the foreseeable future.
Well, it has to change. Mm. We need to increase the liquidity, as I said. We need to increase the kind of number of shareholders that we have. You asked me earlier, is there anything that we need to fix on the BEE? Here's a challenge that you have. If you're a listed company, you have to maintain a certain level of BEE status, whether you're listed or not. That's not easy if you're listed, because it means you must continuously attract black people to buy your share. Less than 3 or 4% of the shares that we have is by black people. I'm talking about those who are not management.
Right.
The balance is within those that are management within the group. So to attract black people to buy our shares on the JSE is something that could help. Because otherwise, when we're raising money, and we may raise money from black people, from white people who want to grow a business. So that can be restrictive if you're trying to maintain a certain level of shareholding.
So do you see a need then maybe to do some sort of empowerment transaction before switching to the main board?
Not necessarily before. It could also be part of switching.
I see.
Or even after. There's no requirement whether we do it before or after. I'm simply saying we are desirous of increasing our black shareholding.
What advantage does being listed give you?
Access to capital.
Yeah.
That's big advantage that it gives us is access to capital where we need it. You are able to put your shares out, you're able to issue your shares, give script, and raise cash for, I mean, as I said, all the transactions that we've done, we have gone to the markets for that. Mm-hmm. The recent one, at least, we had grown it to the extent that we could also use our own cash for those transactions. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there are no plans to delist this business at some point?
No.
You see real value in being listed on
not
the
stock in the market. Near future. At least as a, from a management point of view, and I'm speaking on behalf of the board, there are no discussions of a delisting.
Mm. Out of interest, we've seen the emergence of new stock exchanges in South Africa, mainly electronic stock exchanges. The JSE, does that remain the preferred route for you, or have you looked at these new exchanges that have come into the market? Is there any interest in possibly a secondary listing on one of those bourses?
There is value in these other exchanges, and they have their own particular segments and markets that they're looking at. In our case today, there's no value proposition for us to move. There's no business case for us to move from the JSC. I don't see the need for us to do so. There's no need either for a secondary listing. Our focus at the moment is to move to the main board than to change from JSC to another party.
Hmm. Okay. So when you move to the main board, do you think there's going to be greater interest in trading in your shares? Do you think there's going to be a re-rating of your share price simply because it's not on the perceived to be riskier Alta X board?
That's the idea, right. And we hope it works that way.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'd have failed in our dreams.
So let's dive into what Ansys or Etion offers to the market. We've touched on it very briefly, but you've mentioned things like telecommunications and cybersecurity. What is the biggest area of Etion's business, and where do you see the most opportunity going forward?
If you look historically, it changes depending on which vertical market is strong at that stage. There was a time when the defense market was very strong. There was a time when the railways market was very strong. And then in the past 2 years, telecommunications were strong. And we're seeing cybersecurity to be even becoming much stronger as we go forward. Now, the repositioning of our business was to move away from seeing our business in terms of vertical markets, but instead from a horizontal perspective. When the telcos and the cellcos talk about data sales, they're not talking about data or voice from mining or from this. It's just voice across. So we've rebranded our business to look at markets horizontally as opposed to vertically. So we have a business that looks at safety and productivity solutions. Anything that enhances safety or productivity for people, for companies, is an area that we look at. Now, traditionally, we have looked at safety in mining and safety in railways, but it could be in energy, could be in any sector. Mm. So, and we see the demand for safety and productivity increasing. The more cost pressures are brought to bear on businesses, if you take mining, for example, the deeper you go, the more expensive it becomes, and the more you rely on technology, and the much unsafe it becomes, the more you rely on technology. So we're looking at safety and productivity as an area in which we work. The second area is on the digital networks. Like I said earlier, all these devices that we make on the safety and productivity side have to transport their data somehow. So we have a business, Etion Connect, that looks at digital networks. This is from a passive connectivity side. All the equipment that allows all the active boxes to talk to one another, including active equipment that we have now added as part of our solutions that we put into that sector. And then the other one, of course, is our cybersecurity business, where we start from country level, sovereign level, high security networks, where we do high level encryptions for governments to password management for the guy who's walking in the street. So everything within a cybersecurity space, as long as it involves crypto and it involves protecting and bringing trust in business transactions, that's the space that we play with. These businesses are underpinned by another business, our original design manufacturing business that we call Etion Create. This is where we do the heavy design work, including our own internal manufacturing that we do for ourselves as well as for external clients.
So is most of this business your own IP? Do you represent international companies' products in this market? What's the mix of revenue?
The bulk of the work that we do is our own IP, but we do represent, particularly on the telecommunications side, we represent other parties. If you look from a safety and productivity in terms of Etion Digitize, other people's products could be about 90% is our own IP. If you look in our Create business, again, 80% of our products is our own IP. If you look at our cybersecurity business, again, it's 80-90% of our products is our own IP. It's only in the telecom space where we have a higher input from partners outside the country. And that's mainly because the South African market itself is not large enough for us to do certain technologies. It just makes sense to find something that you can work with a partner. But yeah, there are niche areas that we are now focusing, that we are investing money for this market and for outside the South African market.
Okay. What percentage of your revenue is from South Africa, and which other markets do you focus on?
We are, at the moment, about 18-20% of our business is international.
About 20%?
Yeah. 18-20% varies depending on the year of our business. And actually, of course, we have ambitions to grow that number to more than to 50%. And the bulk of that is some neighboring countries in the Middle East. We're very strong in the Middle East. And then pockets of Europe.
All right. And how do you see that mix changing over the coming years?
We think with our cybersecurity solutions and how we've redesigned our business, the barriers in terms of how we can move our solutions have kind of like fallen. Mm-hmm. With cloud computing and all those kind of things, we think we'll be able to grow in Australasia. We will expand more into Western Europe. We'll expand more on the continent. I think we'll expand again in the Middle East.
Will you do that organically? Will you look at acquisitions?
Our go-to-market at the moment is more organically as opposed to through acquisitions. We have a suite of products and solutions that we have created that are world-class and tested in global markets. So it's a question of putting up a sales capability in country in those areas in which we're going to do business. And of course, we'll be opportunistic. Where it would be very difficult to go in and put a plaque, we may have to do an acquisition to do so, but it depends on the market and the region and the geography in which we're going into.
Right, right. Okay. So you recently put out your 2018 financial results, I think it was to March. Where earnings came off quite a bit. Headline earnings per share were down sharply, but this was at least partly expected because of a really strong performance in the 2017 financial year. Your share price has been under pressure, and we've spoken about the pressure that small cap shares have been under. But it must be pretty tough being a small cap tech company in this economic environment. How do you weather the poor economy we see in South Africa at the moment?
My job as CEO is to focus on the earnings. Mm-hmm. Indeed, earnings are halved, as you correctly pointed out, but again, it's as a result of a stronger previous financial year, which we had exceptional numbers. Now our revenues and profits have marginalized. If you look at our cumulative average growth rate, is 30-40%, whether you're looking at revenue or you're looking at a profit level. So the trajectory is still on growth. Mm-hmm. To weather that, our strategy is to focus more on our IP and grow our own IP to the extent that they become globally competitive. We already have some. We are at a position now where we have to push our products further into global markets so that we don't have a limited exposure outside of the country, the 20% that I spoke about. We need to increase our exposure beyond the South African geography. It's very volatile locally, but it's less volatile outside of this country, so that presents opportunities for growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before I let you go, you've changed the name of the group to Etion. Where does the name Etion come from? Does it mean something specifically?
It actually does. We have smart people in the business. Leo leads the team that does the marketing, and they came up with this idea that part of what we need to do in the company is infuse new energy and have some action. So the E is from the energy, the Shin is from the word action, and that's where the name Etion comes from. Okay. New energy, new action, as we move forward into the new years.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure. Teddy Daka is Group CEO of JSE-listed technology group Etion. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.